I want you to find 2 Corinthians chapter 12, if you would. We're going to read the scripture that Stephen Curtis Chapin just sang about in that song. Be encouraged today. How many know you don't walk this life alone? He's a very present help in time of need, isn't he, church? And Paul writing concerning this demonic attack that was against his life, he said, concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord three times that it might depart from me. And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. Shout it out. His grace is sufficient for me. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. That perfect strength, that power of God is actually matured or perfected in your life when you finally stop depending on you and your flesh to get things done. And until you do that, you'll never know the full measure of the maturity and the perfect grace and strength of God. I want to encourage you today that that process is perfected in weakness. It's not perfected in strength. And when we talk about strength, the Bible makes it very clear in scriptures like Matthew, where the Lord calls us to love the Lord our God with all of our heart, our mind, our soul, and our strength. That strength pertains to everything that pertains to the physical realm in your life. Your physical body, the strength of your thought life, your emotional life, it pertains to the things you possess, the things that you actually hold on to, the things that God has blessed you with. Strength pertains to all of that. And it's only perfected when you come to the end of yourself. Now smile at somebody and say, I love you, but it's time to get rid of your flesh. Because as long as you're dependent upon that flesh, you're not going to see the strength of God perfected in your life. We can't perfect His strength as long as we're relying on our own strength. You may be sitting here today and you're at the end of a year and you're well spent. And the only thing left that you have are leftovers. Just like your refrigerator. Leftovers. I mean, we take that turkey, we make turkey soup out of it. Amen. Turkey salad. Glory to God. Turkey soup. Everything you can think of with a turkey. You've got leftovers. It's a far cry from the feast that it was, but you're still doing something with it. You may be that way in terms of your life this day. You spend all your money, you spend all your strength, you spend all your vision. It seems like you spent all of your hope. You spent everything, and now all you have is leftover strength and leftover resources, leftover hope, and leftover vision. But if you know what to do with the leftovers, God can take that thing and make it a wonderful thing in your life. How do you know He can turn that thing around? So having just leftovers is not a bad place to be if you know what to do with it. Scripture paints a picture of people who understood what to do with leftovers in their life. When we say leftover, we just simply mean something, especially things like food, remaining after the rest has been consumed or used. The interesting thing about the Christian life is we're not called to walk around fat and sassy all the time. We're supposed to be well spent. We're supposed to be investing in other people. We're not going to walk around, having everything all together all the time with nothing going forth from our lives. We're supposed to be conduits of His grace and His mercy, His provision, His power, and His goodness. Look at somebody and smile and say, I am a conduit of the goodness of God. There comes a time when you mature and you say, yes, I believe in the goodness of God and I receive the goodness of God, but I'm not just here with my hand out. I am a conduit for the goodness of God. I receive so God can flow through me. And that's the thing we have to understand. That is actually perfected, when you allow His strength to be large in your life and you're not dependent on just what you can do. I got news for you. The things you're going through now and the things you'll see in this earth in the days to come, you don't have the capacity to deal with it in the natural. You're going to need God's super added to your natural. You're going to need to see His strength perfected in your life. The question is, what do you do when you feel like you're literally scraping the bottom of the barrel in life? When it comes to strength, resources, hope, and encouragement, everything is a leftover. Well, we want to talk about that today and encourage you that if you do the right thing with the leftovers, you can see God do an amazing thing in your life. Psalm 18:32 says, it is God who arms me with strength. Can I have an amen? And makes my way perfect. He makes my feet like the feet of deer and sets me on the high places. Some of you had seen some deer up close and personal this year. I go around our county roads praying in the Holy Ghost and watching. Yes. Watching. I'm always watching, yes. And I've never underestimated the stupidity of deer. They see you coming, and they jump out in front of you anyway. Amen. We got a bunch of deer in our property, and Tim and others want to hunt it. It's a sanctuary. Sorry, my friends. Amen. In fact, my mom has named most of them. You know this scripture, Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through my own strength, through my own power, through my own goodness, through my own wisdom, through my own revelation. No, I can do all things through Christ, the anointed one, and his anointing who gives me strength. Our job is to turn to him. It's his job to give you the strength. And yet, knowing this, so many of us go through life trying to figure everything out. And then after we're completely spent, not because we're trusting him, then finally we turn to him in frustration and exasperation and then expect him to move. You know, you don't have to do that. You can just understand that by the nature of your flesh, you don't have the capacity to be God. It's time to lose your God complex. How many remember your life before you came to Christ? How great was that? Well, you were a lousy Lord before you got saved, and your prospects haven't improved any. You're still a lousy Lord. Amen? But he's a great one, isn't he, church? Isaiah 41:10, another encouraging scripture. So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I'm your God. I'll strengthen you and help you. I'll uphold you with my righteous right hand. The bottom line is, you know, even Christians get wore out, they get tired. Amen. Isn't it interesting that you get tired of mind and your eyes can get tired and your hands and arms can get tired? Amen. Your feet and your legs can get tired. I heard one preacher say this. He said, you know what? It's ironic that the only thing that doesn't get tired on a human being is their mouth. Amen. And that's all I'm going to say about your mouth, because no, it doesn't apply to me at all. Amen. But we, no matter what's going on, we still manage to be mouthy. So what do you do with the leftovers? I want you to turn to the scripture in 2 Kings. Actually, it's in 1 Kings, I'm sorry, in chapter 17. I'm going to read a portion to you about this widow Zarephath. And the scripture says, sometime later, in verse 6, the brook dried up. Because there had been no rain in the land. Now, you know, before this, the prophet had prophesied a severe famine in the land. And here are the consequences. I just want to point out to you, even when you see something going on in this life, God still takes care of his people. Amen. Can I have more amens than just Bill back there? Amen. Can I have a great big God bless you? God bless you. I want everybody to say amen.
Amen.
You are not of this world. So even if there is darkness in the land of Goshen, there's light. There's darkness in Egypt, there's light in the land of Goshen.
There we go, yeah.
Even there's all kinds of, you know, pestilence and garbage going on in Egypt, you are in a safe place. And God has always been that way with his people. That particular situation, the brook had dried up because there had been no rain in the land. Then the word of the Lord came to him, go at once to Zarephath in the region of Sidon and stay there. I've directed a widow there to supply you with food. Makes perfect sense, doesn't it? I'm going to tell a poor widow to take care of a preacher. So he went to Zarephath. When he came to the town gate, a widow was there gathering sticks. He called to her and asked, would you bring me a little water in a jar so that I may have a drink? And as she was going to get it, he called, and bring me, please, a piece of bread. As surely as the Lord your God lives, she replied, I don't have any bread, only a handful of flour in a jar and a little olive oil in a jug. I'm gathering a few sticks to take home and make a meal for myself and my son that we may eat it and die. Good news. She was related to my grandmother, Anna. We're going to make a cake and then we're going to die. I Elijah said to her, "Don't be afraid. Go home and do as you have said, but first make a small loaf of bread for me from what you have and bring it to me." Say that with me, "But first make a small loaf for me. And then make something for yourself and your son. For this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. The jar of flour will not be used up, and the jug of oil will not run dry until the day the Lord sends rain on the land." And she went away and did as Elijah had said. And so there was food every day for Elijah and for the woman and for her family. For the jar of flour was not used up, and the jug of oil did not run dry, in keeping with the word of the Lord spoken by Elijah. How many know when you put the leftovers in the hand of God, anything is possible? Right. Miracles break out. Wonders are accomplished. So the bottom line is, what are you going to do with your leftovers in keeping with this principle and this example? First of all, you need to tell the Lord that you're down to leftovers, not because He doesn't know that, but because you're learning to go to Him instead of everybody else. Can I have an amen? Obviously, the widow had been seeking God. You know, the context of this scripture tells us there was a conversation going on between them. She was pouring out her heart to God, and He was giving her instructions to overcome the situation. Now, when you're down to leftovers, you need to go to the Lord. Can I have an amen? Amen. Don't go to the world. Don't go to the bottle. No. Don't go into somebody's bed you don't belong. Don't go into drugs. Don't go into amusement. Don't go into getting yourself in trouble. Can I have an amen? Amen. When you're dealing with leftovers, you go to the one who can provide. It's not based on how much you have as a leftover. It's based on His ability to take care of you, to give you the strength, the hope, the encouragement, the supply, whatever it is. We know she must have been crying out to God, because in Luke chapter 4, Jesus says the prophet was not sent to any other widow in the famine. Think about that. She cried out and she sent out a beacon of faith and hope, and God saw it. Amen. And sent somebody her way. And this is what Luke 4 says. Jesus says, "I assure you that there were many widows in Israel in Elijah's time. But when the sky was shut up for 3.5 years and there was a severe famine throughout the land, yet Elijah was not sent to any of them, but to a widow in Zarephath in the region of Sidon." Be encouraged today, because God knows exactly where you are. He knows your name. He knows where you are. And He knows what's going on. When you send out and you cry out to the Lord, and you expect Him to do something with those leftovers, He's going to have an answer for you. He's going to have a response for you. I'm telling you, it's time for you to up your prayer game. Can I have an amen? It's time for you to go to the next level, and just don't do all the talking. Mouthy. Learn to listen. Amen. Number two today, purpose in your heart to give Him the leftovers. Give them to Him. Scripture says, "I've commanded a widow to supply for you." So Scripture says, basically, God has given you the answer. We know she cried out to Him, and He answered with a specific command. You go and take care of this man of God. Make a quality decision that you're not going to react or quit. Say it, "I'm not going to react. I'm not going to quit. I'm not going to complain. I'm not going to bellyache." What am I going to do? I'm going to trust Him with what's left at the bottom of the barrel. I tell you, there's power in leftovers if you know who to put those leftovers towards and who you need to send those leftovers to. Little is much in His hands. Scripture teaches us all the way through from cover to cover. For example, Gideon has a sword and his men have a jar and a torch. And that's what they had. Moses had a staff in his hand. The little boy had a few fish and a few loaves. That's all. And yet a multitude was fed with that. It's not based on how much you have. It's about how much you trust Him and what He can do, what you give Him. Amen. Smile at somebody and tell them, give Him your leftovers. Whatever you're dealing with today, whatever it is, your strength, your energy, your hope, your encouragement, your resources, give Him what's left. Scripture says, "And He sat down," this scripture coming from Mark chapter 12, verse 41, "opposite the treasury and watched people putting money into the offering box." Has it dawned on you yet that the Lord watches the offering plate? Yeah. Or in this society, He watches the digital gifts. He's a genius, isn't He? Regardless of how you give, He's very much aware of what's going on. This is striking when you think about it, and I don't think he's doing this to judge people necessarily. He is watching this play out because he cares, because he understands where your treasure is, there your heart is also. Obviously, this woman's heart was with God and with the things of God. And the scripture says, many rich people put in large sums, and a poor widow came and put in two small copper coins, which make a penny. And he called his disciples to him and said to them, truly I say to you, this poor widow has put in more than all those who are contributing to the offering box, for they all contributed out of their abundance, but she out of her poverty has put in everything she had, all she had to live on. This literally in that day was the equivalent of 1/64th of a day's wage. You might say it was a ridiculously low offering, but that's not what God was looking at. What he saw was the leftovers that she had, she gave to him in faith. I don't know, you know, what he did. All I can tell you is based on scripture, based on what I know, he did something for that little woman after watching this play out. Because he's a good God, isn't he, church? Listen, the Bible tells us very plainly what happened. And you and I, like, we've grown up with Bible stories like the feeding of the multitude or blind Bartimaeus. This lady would have grown up hearing the story of what happened at Zarephath. And so what she did in faith towards God, giving him the leftovers and asking him to do something with that gift. 1/64th of a day's wages. Do you know what she gave is equivalent to in our currency? 1/8 of a U.S. penny. It's not the size of the offering. It was the magnitude of her heart and her faith that caught his attention. Look at somebody and say, he'll take your leftovers. Come on, say, he'll take your leftovers. You don't know what to do. You get those leftovers in his hands and watch him move. Glory to God. Number three, do what he tells you to do with the leftovers. First, make me a cake. Say this with me with all your heart. The miracle is in the command. When you give him the leftovers, he knows what to do with them. Say it again. The miracle is in the command. Go wash in the pool. And what happened when he went and washed in the pool? He came home seeing. To the man with the withered hand, he said what? Stretch out your hand. And as he did, he is restored. Are you here today? That's how his word works. With Peter, Peter said, Lord, if it's you, bid me to come to thee on the water. And what did the Lord say? Come. And as he stepped out, guess what happened? He walked on water. We do these surveys for years, and Mike Cornett been instrumental working with soul winning for years. And one of the things we would ask people on the streets, can you name two people that walked on water? And the answers are very varied. You know the answer is what? Jesus and Peter. One answer I got was Moses and a duck. It wasn't Moses and a duck. It was Jesus and Peter. And what did he do? He gave him that faith, stepped out on that one single word, come. And for all history, we know two people walked on water and the water wasn't frozen. Can I have an amen?
Amen.
I say, can I have a better amen than that?
Amen.
You do what he tells you to do because the miracle is in the command. And the command will always be a seed in keeping with the need. He is always going to give you that seed of a command in keeping with that need. And if you sow the action, you're going to see breakthrough in your life. I am telling you, I'm prophesying breakthrough over your life because you're going to catch this in Jesus' name. You're not good to moan, but moan that all you got left are leftovers in your life. Well, everybody in this room at one time or another was spent emotionally, mentally, physically, spiritually, financially, and somehow you decided to give him what was left, and here you are today, hallelujah. You're still standing. You're still serving. You're still growing, glory to God, because you found out the value of putting leftovers in his hand. This isn't a day to be discouraged about what you don't have. You need to take what is in your hand and put it in his hand and watch and see what he will do. He's the God of the supernatural, and he's far from done with you.
Amen.
I hear the Holy Ghost saying, there's some folks in this room today saying, you know what? There's nothing for me out there. There's nothing left for me. There's all kinds of things left for you to do. You're breathing. You're on this planet. Give him the leftovers and watch and see what he will do with it.
Amen.
Amen. The command will always be a seed in keeping with a need. You might be here today and you need some joy. What do? Go out and spread some joy. Right. Oh, I need some joy. I don't want to spread any joy. I need somebody to spread some joy to me. Amen. You know, many comedians have said this, and many that have died young have said this, that the reason they enjoyed making other people joyful and laugh is because they were so miserable. They were intentionally trying to get joy out of making somebody else happy. You know, that still works. Do you know the joy of the Lord is your strength? Do you know that Christians are goofy? And if you keep your eyes open, you'll crack up. They're funny. You need some joy. You need some victory. Go out and spread it. Our mindset is, no, I need it, so I'm going to wait for somebody to give it to me. I need somebody to connect with me, to reach out to me. I wish somebody would hug me. I wish somebody would shake my hand. Why don't you go out and find somebody to hug? But ask them if they've had back surgery first. Can I have an amen? You go out and take the leftovers, and if you need something, sow it. Come on, say it. The miracle is in the command. You say, I need some money, or I know some people that need some money. Guess what you should do? It's the gospel does not work as the natural mind works. When you have a need, you sow a seed. And if what you have is not sufficient for the need, you know that it's a seed. You'd be amazed what God will do when you take that leftover and you bless somebody else. Hallelujah. His word is true, isn't it, church? And have you been walking with God long enough to know that when you're in a pickle and you sow a seed, you're directed by God, He's going to come through in your situation. That's a word for somebody today. And for those of you that have sown, you can expect God to keep His word in your life. It doesn't make sense to the natural mind if you have a need, sow a financial seed. In fact, that's the dumbest thing in the world in the natural to hear. But that's exactly how the kingdom of God works. How many can raise your hand and say, you found that out before? I hold on to that truth because your world and your situation is not tied to what this world does. It's not tied to what governments do. It's tied to what you do in the kingdom of God. Say it with me, if I have a need, I should sow a seed. You might be here today and you need some food. I'm the one that needs to be on the receiving end of this. I'm telling you, there's got to be a switch in your thinking from, you know what, I'm on the need end all the time to being a supplier of other people and watch what God will do. You trust God. You need some food? Find somebody that needs some food and go give it. Amen. Pastor, that's the dumbest thing I ever heard in my life. You know, my family's hungry. We're hungry. We don't have anything. So we should go give some food. That's exactly what you should do. And then prepare to be bombarded with bags of groceries. Amen. 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 One of these days, a swan truck breaks down right in front of your house. Get a knock on the door. Ma'am, I hate to bother you, but the truck's refrigeration's out. I don't have another truck. I can't get back to the place. Everything's going to spoil. Would you mind taking all this food on this truck out of my hands? Amen. Crazier things have happened. In fact, that very thing has happened. Jerry Savelle used to sell the suits that he had, the pants that he had into his African team over there in that continent. And what happened one day is literally a truck showed up full of slacks. See, I don't want a truck full of slacks. Maybe you don't, but the principle is still valid.
That's right.
You sow a seed, you get a harvest. What you do with leftovers is you don't moan about your leftovers. You invest your leftovers expecting God to move in your life. Amen. You need some help? Give somebody else some help. That's right. I'm building something. I'm digging something. I'm putting something up. Go find somebody and sow that seed and watch what God will do. Amen. You ever seen the Amish build a barn? Yeah. Have you ever seen a video of the Amish move a barn? Yeah. I'm just in awe. But you put a couple hundred people around the perimeter of a barn, and guess what? They'll lift that sucker up and move it. Yeah. Amen. Yes. You need some help? Sow a seed helping somebody else. You need some encouragement? Go encourage somebody else. Are there people right now around the world discouraged? Are there people in this town discouraged? They've lost their courage. They've lost their spiritual courage. They've lost their faith. They are discouraged. They're having a hard time. Well, Pastor, that you described me perfectly. Now go out and help somebody else and watch and see what will happen to you. You will be encouraged in a supernatural way that won't even make sense to you. One of the most powerful harvests you can ever get is a harvest of encouragement. When you're in your lowest place, and all of a sudden God just begins to move on your heart, and all of a sudden you're alive spiritually, and great things are happening in your life. You say, well, that would take some faith to step out and encourage somebody else when I'm so depressed, when I'm so discouraged. That's exactly right. I got a lot of pieces of wisdom when I was in college, and Mark Randall was my campus pastor. And one of the things he said, you know, when you are down, one of the smartest things you can do is go out there and minister to somebody else. And I can't tell you how many times I saw that play, not just then, but throughout life. Look at somebody and smile and say, when you're discouraged, go encourage somebody else. You see, we have the backward mentality, the worldly mentality. When I'm encouraged, come on, help me, you know, help me, help me. Won't you help me? And we sit back, and when it doesn't happen, we get offended and put out with people. Instead of having the mindset of the kingdom of God, it's not about, you know, my name is Jimmy. His name is Jimmy. I'll take all you give me. That's what's wrong with the things in the body of Christ. We haven't made the switch over into the sower mentality. And so when we get offended when somebody doesn't come to us. If you want something, sow for it. Take that and sow it as a seed and watch what will happen in your life. I'm telling you what, the people discouraged this time of the year, they're everywhere. And don't pay attention to what they have on or what they wear or what they drive. You have no idea what's going on in the inside of their heart. Amen. Encourage them. Amen. Say it with me. I am called to the ministry of encouragement. You need some strength. Go strengthen somebody else's life. You're hurting, go ahead and strengthen somebody else. Find somebody else that's really struggling and lift up their arms. Encourage them. In other words, church, give the very thing that you need. Amen. Come on, say it. I need to give the very thing that I need. Encouragement, food, money, strength, help. Whatever it is, God gave us the law of seed time and harvest all the way back in Genesis, and it's taught about throughout Scripture. You what? You reap according to what you have sown. Amen. You reap the things that you have sown. See, if you have a need, sow a seed. Do exactly what was told to you by the Word of God. You say, I don't have Elijah running around. You got something better than Elijah running around. You have the infallible, incorruptible Word of God at your disposal. Amen. Do what it says and watch and see what will happen. Do what he tells you to do with those leftovers. And then what do? You expect the leftovers to produce a flow. One of the greatest things you can ever learn is if you will go around sowing, you're going to go around flowing. Hallelujah. It is a violation of spiritual law to sow and not reap. But in this case, this woman did exactly what God told her to do. And the result of her giving out of the leftovers, say the leftovers, listen, just the leftovers produced such a miraculous harvest. The oil and the meal continued to flow. The key to the flow will always be the seeds that we sow. Amen. Come on, shout it out. The key to the flow will always be the seeds that we sow. I don't know about you, but I'm getting excited about the sow and I'm getting excited about the flow right now. Hallelujah. And when you've been a sower, you should be excited. Not moan about what's left. Not moan what you don't have. No, what you have is supernatural. If you do what he tells you to do. Shout it out one more time. The key to my flow is the seeds that I sow. Let's have everybody shout it out. The key to my flow is the seeds that I sow. And you know what? Nobody can stop you from sowing. Right. Nobody. I can go out today and sow all kinds of seeds towards people. Now, the thing the devil can do about it. He can lie to you and tell you there's no efficacy in that. There's no virtue in that. There's no harvest in that. But the devil is a liar. And I'm telling you, if you go out and find somebody who's struggling and come alongside of them, you will find God giving you supernatural aid. You won't even know how it came or what avenue it came through, but God will move in your life when you give him the leftovers. Hallelujah. You're going to continue to flow in strength, glory to God. You're going to continue to flow in resources, amen. You're going to continue to flow in wisdom. You're going to continue to flow in power. You're going to continue to flow in the peace of God that passes all understanding.
Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah. You're going to continue to flow in joy.
Hallelujah.
The joy of the Lord is your strength. Look at your neighbor and smile and say, and you crack me up. Turn to somebody else and say, I get all kinds of joy from you. Amen. You just have to look for it and just have to appreciate it. Mom and Dad first moved here. She heard a bunch of gunshots outside the, you know, near the house. We sat down at Cracker Barrel, Kelly, me, Mom, and Dad, and all of a sudden Mom says, you know, and there's an idiot out there shooting yesterday. And Kelly goes, that was Art. Me and Tim are out there practicing. We need it. And Mom goes, without even hesitating, oh, my idiot. She'd been cracking us up for years. I was 5 years old, 5, 6 years old. We were going from, you know, east of Marion, Illinois on Highway 13 towards town, going west on 13. We got in front of the municipal swimming pool, and a sheriff's deputy ran us off the road. No lights, no sirens, just ran us off the road. Now, the normal person at that moment says, that wasn't very nice. And then goes about her business. Oh, no. She gets off the curb, off the sidewalk, and chases after him and pulls the cop over. Amen. And then began to explain how she personally knew the sheriff. I don't remember much of it, but I do remember, have a nice day, Mrs. Hines. Amen. Look at somebody and say, you crack me up too, hallelujah. You're funny. And why not? The joy of the Lord is our strength. Why not? We're forgiven. Why not? We're the righteous of God. Why not? We're the healed. Why not? We're the blessed. Why not? We're the prosperous. Why not? We're going to heaven. Amen. Why not? We are free people. If anybody in this town ought to be filled with joy, it's the people who understand their God and know what He has done for them and what has God planned for them in the future. Amen. Come on, show your joy right now. Hallelujah. Praise God. Have joy. But when you sit back and withhold those leftovers, you're not going to see much of a harvest. I've been here a long time. How long? I'll let you do the numbers. But our staff has prayer Tuesday through Friday, and different staff members lead it, and everybody's a blessing. And when there's a need in the church, people are praying about that. There's a sickness in the church, the staff are going to town. They don't pray some mamby-pamby prayer. They pray the prayer of faith. So the other day, you know, I'm sitting over here towards the back, and a gentleman comes in. His name was Oscar. And this particular fellow had some needs in his life. Everybody say some needs. And so he comes down to the altar, and joy to recognize him. And I had one staff member ask him if he wanted to accept the Lord. Now, right at this moment, I'm like, Lord, I'm going to go up there too. And Lord's just like, no, watch. Just watch. And so that's what I did. One staff member led Oscar to the Lord Jesus Christ in salvation. Another staff member prayed over him to receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost and received. Another staff member stepped up and prayed the prayer of faith for his healing.
All right.
I believe the Lord Jesus Christ was very pleased with the efforts of that staff. Sowing seeds. Somebody is walking in off the street. Why is that important? It's important if you know that the people serving this ministry don't do this as a job. They do it as a ministry. And then I thought about this, all the things that are out there going on, there are a bunch of Oscars in this town. They need the Lord Jesus. They need to be saved. They need to be baptized in the Holy Ghost. They need to be healed. And we also address some financial need in his life as well. But the bottom line is, there's all kinds of opportunities to sow the seed. And when you take those leftovers in your life, whatever is there, and you appropriate towards what God tells you to do, you're going to see harvest in your life. Amen? It's thrilling to see the opportunities that are out there. Amen? God desires that you would sow and that you would flow. Say, I'm a sower, but I'm also in the flow. Come on, shout it out. I sow the seed, and then I see a flow from that seed. In Jesus' name. So you have a choice. You can either take those little leftovers and go, well, I'm just spent. I got nothing left to give. And then moan and complain and whine and get all depressed. Or come out of yourself and sow in that situation. Amen. Whatever you need, sow a seed. And watch and see if the Lord doesn't cause you to flow from that sow. Can you receive that today? Come on, give him a hand clap and thank him for that.